listening to the Female Mastermind Podcast.
Hi, people of the internet. So, I'm here with another episode, and today we will be talking about the desensitization of crime, or true crime, or just like crime in general. Crime in general, right? Here's your daily reminder to go eat some Pringles and Kiska. If you don't know what a Kiska is, it's like ice in a bag. Well, juice ice in a bag. Kiska, ice pop. I don't know what other people call it, but in Jamaica we call it Kiska. Right? Alright. I've tried recording this topic before, I just never enough expressed my thoughts or like exactly what I wanted to say properly, and it just ended up a mess and I just scrapped it. I mean, I still have the recordings, I just didn't use it because it was just bad, and I don't like that I'm not able to present that in a good way, because quality, okay? We need good quality, and that's why I mentioned this before, but that's why I basically did not record any episodes over the summer, because it was just bad quality, right? We're still not at the ideal quality that I would like for my podcast to be at, but yeah. Oh yeah, okay. You're listening to the Female Mastermind Podcast, and I am your host. The name is pronounced LL Ryu, by the way. Yeah. By the way, based on the stuff that I'm going to say, I have no professional opinion on this. This is just my opinion. We talk about theories and just whatever I want over on this podcast. So yeah, these are just my opinions and what I think on a certain topic. As well as, I'm a 15-year-old. This is just what I think, my thoughts, right? Right. But this is something that I have observed and just wanted to talk about. And yeah, whatever sources or whatever articles I will be referencing to will be in the blog post for this episode, which you can find the link to that in the description of the episode. And feel free to tell me your thoughts on this topic as well. And yeah. Also, tip, if you want to sound like you know what you're talking about, stop using words like and so, and having awkward pauses. I tend to do that, and I'm trying to get rid of that so I can, because you just want, okay, there I'm doing it. I'm not finishing a thought and then moving on to another. I'm just cutting crosses because I don't know how to express what I want to say properly, if that makes sense. Yeah. You see it? See? I just said yeah. Okay. But you basically just want to whatever you're saying to flow, see me I do it again. You want it to flow naturally. You want it to have a nice flow, basically. And you don't want cut up thoughts just springing out like that. All right, let's actually get into this. Oh, wait, before I actually get into it, I have a bone to pick. So I'm watching this show called The Good Doctor. It's nice and fine. I'm just at like episode, what is it, 4 or is it 3? Episode 4, right? And basically, he's this young guy and he has autism, and it's like people just disrespect him or have no respect for him or regards for him because he's autistic. Like, for him to actually get to work into the hospital, like, the president of the hospital had to fight so hard to get them to actually have him run a trial period for, which is 6 months. But this is not the first show I've watched where someone's autism was an issue in their professional lives. There's a Korean drama called Amazing Attorney Woo. I think, let me go get the actual name, because yeah. Okay, so it's actually titled Extraordinary Attorney Woo, which is spelled W-O-O, right? And she has autism. She's autistic, right? And, well, specifically, it's Asperger's syndrome, right? I believe she's also autistic, right? But they So what I'm looking for. I need to stop saying om like that. They underestimated her, and even in court, she had to, like, be removed from a case because the person who did something was also autistic, and there was, like, all right, since she's an attorney and she's autistic and he's also autistic, how are they different, yada, yada, yada. So, basically, they were just being prejudiced and discriminating against her, and I'm seeing this as a trope or a theme happening in The Good Doctor, and I don't like it. I feel like, why can't people just, I feel like society would be a much better place if people just stopped being assholes. Okay, let me finish my rant and actually get into our topic of today, which is desensitization of true crime. And yes, I know I did not make an episode last week, but it's A-okay. Alright, so let's talk about patriarchy power. And the messed up justice system. What I mean by this is people who are on top of the class system or patriarchy system, like rich, powerful people, right? Because even though I don't like it, we all know that money equals power. So if you're rich, you have a chance. You have a good chance of getting out of legal trouble if you're rich, because you can get a good lawyer, you can get away with forgery and stuff like that, which I hate. I absolutely hate that. It's just corrupt. We live in a very corrupt society, and a very biased society and judgmental society. But it can't take only one person to change that, and that's the issue. Like, we all have to come together. All right, me talking about that is just going off topic. We'll leave that for now, because I've been meaning to talk about what a perfect society would look like to me, so I'm working on that. It's very slow because I'm lazy, but it's very slow. You'll eventually get to hear my thoughts on that. Anyways, going back to what we were saying, let's recap. Power. Money equal power. And if you have that, you're able to intimidate and threaten people who are quote-unquote inferior than you, or is just not as rich as you, right? So you're this rich, powerful business tycoon, whatever, let's say that, right? And then to get your way, you're going to manipulate, intimidate, and threaten someone in a lower position of lower class than you to get out of that. Because, alright, let's say you're rich and your son or your child, whatever, hit this person, and your child isn't going to pay for what they did in, like, jail or community service or whatever. What you would do is you would threaten to, like, disrupt this person's life, or you could, like, pay for their silence for the right price. You could get them to not sue your son or whatever, or pursue a case against your son because you have money. So that's the equation I'm using, right? This is probably way more common than we actually realize, and it's something that is done behind the scenes. It's not something that is, like, publicized like that. It is something that is done behind the scenes, what people hide. It's people's dirty what? How does the phrase go again? Anyways, moving on. Also, these people are able to hire contract killers and hits and whatever on people, right? And they can get away with it, or they won't get as much punishment for it because they got someone else to do their dirty work. They're not directly involved in murdering that person, so they can get off on a second degree or a third degree charge of murder than the person who actually killed or murdered that person, you know, person that stabbed them or pulled the trigger. They can get away with a less harsher punishment than that. That is, even if they are caught. And then the way how the justice system is just that dirty is you can pay off police officers and just people in that profession to not get your ass in jail. You know, you can pay them to throw out the case or pull strings of the right person to get that pulled out, you know? Which is just completely unfair. And just why? Why? So, desensitization of crime or true crime, crime, generally crime. So, what is the meaning of the word desensitization? According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it's to make insensitive or non-reactive to a sensitizing agent, or to make emotionally insensitive or callous, specifically to extinguish an emotional response to stimuli that formerly induced. All right, that made no sense what I just read, so we're gonna look for a meaning that actually makes sense. I don't know why I didn't read this before I spoke about it. Here we go. So, according to Wikipedia, in psychology, desensitization is a treatment or process that diminishes emotional responsiveness to a negative, aversive, or positive stimulus after repeated exposure to it. Now, I am talking about this as someone who watches true crime or that watches true crime on the regular. I would say regularly, because even today I listen to a true crime case on YouTube. It is very accessible to find information on murders and murderers and murder victims. It is incredibly easy to find information on cases because some of these cases are even publicized, right? And the way how the media handles it is absolutely disgusting too. But we'll get into that, which is our next subtopic, which is media coverage. Media coverage can help or break a case in so many ways, right? Media coverage can bring in tips and evidence and leads to help solve a case, and it can get people to spread the word about a missing person or a specific murderer or criminal that they're looking for. You know, it can help in that aspect, and it can help to spread that information as a lesson to other people, essentially, because maybe a reason why people are like follow true crime so closely is that they're learning from this. They're learning about how to keep themselves safe or more safe or what to do in certain situations, right? Buying devices to help you protect yourself is really common now because people are bringing around knives, people are getting legal firearms to carry around for safety reasons. People are bringing around pepper spray, tasers, especially women. And I believe that a large demographic of true crime listeners or people who indulge in true crime are mostly women because a lot of violent crimes happen to women, and it's just a way of them learning how they can possibly keep themselves safe in a certain situation. Because I have learned things from watching and so many true crime cases. I have. And I feel like the problem comes in is when you're so used to it, you become it reduces the seriousness of murder and crime in general. It just reduces that. You know, and people make insensitive jokes and comments about certain things, right? Which is just not it. An example of how media coverage can break a case is influencing the jury and making false tips and providing false evidence and information as a joke in an investigation, which is just terrible. Like, bro, why would you do that? Because there has been instances where people would call in false tips or call the police with false evidence or information as a joke. Like, what good does that do anyone at all? It's just incredibly insensitive and stupid of people to do that. media coverage. Let's talk about the people reporting that. So we're not getting into the YouTuber content aspect yet. Let's talk about kind of mainstream media, like reporters for news sources, right? They tend to hound the families of these victims, and they harass the victim's family, and they harass the police as well, and you have people leaking information that's not supposed to be accessible to the public. It can turn downhill really fast, okay? And then if the person who you're looking for knows certain information that you know, they can hide themselves, conceal themselves, they can go back and remove evidence that they've possibly left behind. They can know how close you are to catching them. There's so many reasons why media coverage can break a case, but it also does good because it is spreading awareness in some way, but it's also helping a case get attraction so other people can like help. I feel like media coverage is probably helpful in missing persons cases, because you can spread that person's face and their description and whatever around and have people spread that around, so like the more people know about it, the more or maybe a higher possibility there is for the police to find that person. Yeah. So we all know that people have this morbid curiosity with things that are unknown to them, right? Don't you just, like, I find it so morally wrong when there's an accident and people are dead or something traumatic is happening to someone else, and yes, the people then whip out them phone and start take video and a picture of what is happening. Like, bro, that is someone's life. That is something traumatic that has happened to somebody. Why are you videoing it to go put on social media? Why? Like, have you ever thought about it like that? Like, have you, like, you know when accidents happen and you see videos come out of those accidents and you can basically see dead people on websites and so on, you know, like deceased individuals on different websites. Like, that's a thing happening. And it's like a form of entertainment to them, which it should not be, because it is people's death. It is people's traumatic experiences. It is how a person dies, how someone took their life from them. How is that entertainment? And I'm calling out myself too, because I watch true crime. And I've cut down on it. Like, I've stopped. Mostly because there was this one case, the Hello Kitty murder, and one with another. When I read those, they were graphic. I didn't read them. I watched the case coverage on YouTube. They were pretty graphic. And I couldn't really imagine something much more graphic than that. That was as graphic as it got to me. So every case that I've listened to or heard about after that with somewhat horrible details, I think, oh, it's not that graphic to me, because I've listened to about more graphic things than that. You know what I mean? Alright, this is a bit off topic, but I wanted to mention sexual assault. That is very common. And the way how people just dismiss people's traumatic experiences and stories, because you've probably heard a few, like maybe, you know, at least one person in your life who has been somewhat sexually assaulted or harassed, you know? And things like that have been so common. It's like people don't realize that this is a severe and serious situation because they've just become used to it or used to hearing about it, and they're not surprised like that anymore when they heard that someone, because I'm sure if you go on TikTok and you scroll hard enough, you can find about someone talking about their sexual assault experience, right? Like, you know, this happened to this person, and you're like, oh, but I saw someone else said so and so happened to them too. Like, this is a traumatic and awful thing to happen to somebody. Why? But there's all, like, you have books that have murder in it or have been written about a real life murder case. There are shows and movies that have been made depicting these murder cases, and they're making money off of that. But that's coming under a different topic later on that we will discuss, which is the monetization of content involving true crime or just crime in general, right? So annoyingly, I've gone into the other topic already, which is how this desensitization of true crime has increased the seriousness of that murder or crime or situation. Like, it has. It's like, people die every day, so you're kind of just like, it's life, people die, this happens, whatever. And there's no empathy, there's no, wow, someone died, someone lost their life, someone this, someone that, you know? Which is awful. Like, people acting like hearing people get murdered is as common as seeing our car drive past you. Like, that is literally the reaction you get when you tell someone that someone has been murdered. And in brutally ways, too. Like, no amount of description or reenactments can truly emulate how a person felt in the moment they were stabbed to freaking death. Like, come on now. It's not like they essentially passed away in their sleep or something like that. People were brutally murdered, stabbed to death, tortured, decapitated, all of these things in gruesome ways. And it's just like, reflecting upon this, it's just like, whoa, what? You know? So, kind of to expound on what I've just said, there is an article by the arrowheadonline.com that I'm going to read to you from this. I'm going to read to you some stuff from it. So, I've actually, like, made a little Google pages thing that has these articles in there, so I will link that. It will just kind of be easier, I guess. Alright, here we go. Quote, due to the natural human attraction to dark subjects, many people have begun to rapidly consume true crime media, whether that's through books, Netflix documentaries, or podcasts. True crime media that have recently captivated audiences, including the Netflix documentaries, Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes, and Night Stalker, the hunt for a serial killer, and podcasts like Crime Junkie and Dirty John. Senior Dakota Bishop attributes her interest in true crime to morbid curiosity. According to a study done by Suzanne Osterwijk, I know I totally butchered that name, and I'm sorry, of the Department of Psychology at the University of Amsterdam, this morbid curiosity could be a motivation to explore information or a motivation to close an information gap. Quote, people may be curious about negative stimuli because these stimuli allow people to acquire knowledge about the world, Osterwijk found. Senior Daniel Michael said that she often will reread or rewatch or just listen to stuff about the same person or same case over and over again. She says, quote, "I will often learn something new, and it's just so interesting to me that people can be so horrible, but also how they get that way too," she said. Michael said that she prefers to listen to true crime podcasts or watch YouTube where Bailey Sarian do her makeup while discussing true crime cases. All right, pause. So I've heard people talk about this YouTuber, Bailey Sarian, and I have watched some of her videos before, and they're mostly concerned about the morality of putting on your makeup while going over the events of someone's last moments. Some of these are brutal murders too. So people are like, how is this right on a moral scale, right? But what I find interesting is that I don't think mainstream media get much flack or shit for reporting on murder cases or like crimes in general. Like, they harass people. They harass people for information, and they make people uncomfortable for information. And I don't really see people criticizing news outlets like that, like mainstream media outlets like that, for reporting on stuff, you know what I mean? I'm not sure if this is true statistically, I'm just saying I don't think this is my opinion. Okay, so I've gone further down in the article, and I'm reframing that from that. So, quote, "Due to the increase in true crime interest and media consumption, some are concerned about the possible negative consequences of true crime. Some worry about desensitization to the kinds of violence discussed in true crime due to the large consumption and exposure to true crime. According to, quote, the Encyclopedia of International Media and Communications, desensitization is the psychological impact of repeated exposure to something, causing that something to not hold as much weight or significance over time. Desensitization to violence, primarily from media sources, has caused reduced arousal and emotional disturbance while witnessing violence as greater hesitancy to call an adult to intervene in a witnessed physical altercation, and has less sympathy for the victims of domestic abuse." Yeah, you can finish reading what the article has to say, but that is what I included. I'm sorry if I read a bit fast. Yeah, I just wanted to get over with reading it as soon as possible, so I guess that's why I read fast. Moving on, let's talk about the increased info and inspiration for potential murderers and serial killers, because serial killers and murderers have been born because they were inspired by other serial killers and murderers, and we call these people copycats. Yeah. Over the years, there have been many copycats of famous serial killers. In fact, the most recent case that I've listened to on the topic of true crime, it was about this teenager who murdered his friend, and he was inspired by his uncle, who's an Australian killer. And he even, like, went by his uncle's last name, even though his other family members, like, changed their last names because they didn't want to be associated with the uncle. But he took inspiration from his uncle and killed a boy with an axe, I believe. So, yes, easily accessible information, because you can go on Google and search for a case and see information pop up on that case. So information like that gives other other killers more information and tips or a how-to guide to commit murder, and it can inspire other people to commit murders. So that's definitely a really bad thing about true crime or true crime being desensitized because people can get inspired from these killers and become killers themselves. So I found an article on, and it is titled 10 Notable Copycat Killers by people.howstuffworks.com. I wanted to read a little excerpt from this before I get into the killers. So it says, quote, "Modern criminologists have been aware of the potential for media exposure to lead to copycat killings. As the media has grown, other forms of entertainment, especially movies and video games, have come under fire for allegedly leading to copycats basing crimes on what they see on the screen." So, there was Tylenol Killer Copycats. I've heard about this case. There are Natural Born Killers Copycats. Natural Born Killers is a film, I believe. And it's based loosely on Charles Starkweather and Caro Anne Fugit. Another one is the Zodiac Copycat, who is Eddie Seda, the Zodiac Killer. I believe I've heard of this case as well. The Zodiac Killer, I think this killer would kill couples, like young couples, in their vehicles. I think that's the Zodiac Killer is about. There's also a Jack the Reaper copycat called Derek Brown, and he murdered 2 women before he was caught. So yes, easily accessible information on these murders can cause copycat killers, which is very harmful to society. Let us move on to the monetization. Monetized content of crimes. So, as I mentioned before, there are like Netflix documentaries, there are YouTubers who are producing content who can get paid. But they do have, because YouTube have certain guidelines now, that you can't say certain words like sexual assault and rape on the platform. But podcasts are like a way to get over this. So like most of them have podcast versions of their videos. And you can also monetize podcasts because you can, and even so you can still get paid on YouTube via sponsorships. There are companies who sponsor, true crime channels. Eleanor Neal is quite a well-known true crime YouTuber, and Casetify, and I remember Casetify sponsoring her, which is like a case company, and a VPN company too, and Best Fiends. Those are some of like her prominent, I guess. Those are sponsors that I've seen in her videos, right? So they do get paid for reporting on these cases. But these cases, though, are not, like, it does take work to research these cases and present them and edit it and make sure your information is factual, right? So you have to kind of give them credit on their reporting duties. But is it morally acceptable? Is it morally right? I've talked about morals before and how everyone's morals are different and how we know what is right and wrong. Like, morals is a tricky subject, okay? But it is the concept, though, of getting paid by telling a person's trauma or how a person spent their last moments alive. So it is controversial. So things that are not murders, so you have like scams and stuff like that. You know Inventing Anna, that is on Netflix, that is based on someone who actually scammed a bunch of rich people out of money. So yeah. And tying into the topic of copycats, I feel like people see these now and they're like, oh, if they can do it, I can do that too. Because scamming people or fraud, committing fraud, is way more I guess, morally okay than murdering someone, taking someone's life in a brutal way, because you're basically just stealing something from someone else, even though that is wrong too. It's just not as bad as murder, essentially. It's still bad though, and you shouldn't do it, but people do it. And murder is still awful and just bad too, but you still have a considerable amount of people who do it, and they do it without remorse too, because you have murderers who have absolutely no remorse for what they have done. Okay, this is the next one. So, because we're not directly involved with the victim, we may not feel a certain level of sympathy and empathy for them and just see them as entertainment because their tragic stories are being told as stories. They're being told, they're being reported on. These are things that people have gone through. It's not a walk in the park. These are people who have been stabbed and shot to death and tortured, and all of these horrible things have happened to them. And you're just gonna look at them like your entertainment, like you're eating dinner or you're just about to go to bed, and you're like, oh, let me listen to this. And people's last moments are being recalled to you, reiterated to you, told into you as a story, as if it's fictional. I feel like people can often turn this into a fictional aspect because I do like to write murder stories, but it's not based on someone that's real at all. It's just my imagination, right? But the thing is, I can also accept that because I watch these things, so my imagination on this topic is a bit more broad than someone who's just taking this out of their head on basic knowledge, because I watch crime shows and stuff like that, so I can get inspiration from that to write murder stories. I'm taking accountability for that. I'm not perfect. I'm just saying that there's something morally wrong, ish. I'm not sure. We're just talking about it. I'm just saying that it has become that true crime or crime in general have just become desensitized. And people are used to it, and so they just don't have that level of empathy for people anymore that have gone through these traumatic things and have lost their lives to people. Okay? This one really irks me, and it is the obsession with criminals. But people on TikTok, mostly girls I've seen on TikTok, fawning over killers, murderers, like Ted Bundy. Like, bro. Come on now. They killed someone. Or many people, because Ted Bundy is a serial killer and have killed many women. Like, imagine fawning over a man that has killed so much women, so much more women than you can count. Like, so much women. In brutal ways, too. Like, imagine just because he looks somewhat nice or handsome or socially. Or look good by social standards, you're gonna fawn over him? Like, he's a killer. He murdered people. He took people's lives from them. And he would murder you too. He don't care. They don't care. Like, this obsession with killers is just absurd. And stop it. You sound mental. Like, literally. Like, do you realize these people will kill you and can kill you in a heartbeat? They do not care, okay? Moving on. So, we can often like forget that these people were actual real people too, because we didn't know them in real life. We're not close to them. So, it's just like a story on a screen to us mostly. And it's how their lives end. And their killer is like how their life ended, and killer is all you can remember about them, is all that they're seen as. Like, not their life accomplishments, not who they were as a person, but how they died, how their lives were brutally taken from them. That is what we're gonna focus on. That is essentially the legacy that they left behind, which isn't their legacy because they didn't build that. It is someone who took their life, and then you give the these then you give attention to these killers, and then it's off the victim who actually lost their life. Like, seriously? So that is like another aspect that irks me too, that we like, and then you look into the criminals and you're so fascinated by them because you're like, What compels a person to do something so barbaric to another person? And then you're giving them attention that they probably want. The next thing I want to mention is scams are normalized. So is murder, but we're specifically focusing on scams. Scams are like more normalized and people gain attention. They gain media attention. They gain fame, 15 minutes of fame from doing these things that are bad. They're bad because, yeah, and because these scams didn't happen to these people, they're like, oh, you should have known better. You should have known this was fraud. You should have known this was a scam. You should have this, you should have that. And then they don't empathize with the people who got scammed too. Like, bro, anybody could get scammed, honestly. If the scammer or the con artist is good enough, you can get scammed too. So don't think you're better than the person who got scammed. Because you're just hearing their stories. You're just hearing their story and all of that together. So you're like thinking about it in this critical way. But the person wasn't doing that at the time when they were getting scammed. But like after they're scammed and they realize they have been scammed. So can we have a little more empathy for people who have gotten scammed? Like you wouldn't think it's nice. I've never been scammed before. But like you wouldn't think it is nice. Let's say this is not even close to of being scammed out of millions of dollars or like thousands of dollars of money. But let's say you go to the store and you're looking for something. You're looking for a specific lip balm or whatever, and you ask the salesperson for help and they give you a shitty lip balm and you feel like you've been scammed because you got a shitty lip balm that does nothing for your lips but only smells like Skittles. Yes, this happened to me and I'm salty because it's not a good lip balm and I paid like $800 for that. Not USD, JMD. So, yeah. Like, bro. Anyways, moving on. Just like, you can empathize with people. It's not exactly hard to do it. You know? Or just not make cruel jokes about them being scammed out of thousands of dollars and losing money. Okay, some people become way too obsessed and consumed by a case. And they can probably end up harming it because they're so involved in it. They're looking for tips. They're doing this. It's kind of like a case being posted to the internet and you have people, let's say on Reddit, that are looking into the case like, unofficial investigators, like internet people who are just interested in a case, who are scouring the internet to try and help solve the case, but instead you probably harmed the case because you're wasting police resources and your tips aren't good or whatever, but you're just too obsessed or consumed by this case, so you still continue to, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Morality. The whole morality thing. I'm not sure how morally... Alright, if we're... On the broad topic of desensitization of crime, or, like, true crime, morally, that is horrible. It's bad. You're lacking sensitivity, you're lacking empathy for something that is serious. So, yeah, that is bad. But on the people who are reporting it and not actually committing it, how morally okay is it for them to do that? That's controversial. Lost of innocence. When you become desensitized to true crime, like, our innocence, our knowledge, it's like breaking a knowledge barrier. Because before you knew nothing or really anything about the topic, and then you began to consume this form of media or entertainment loosely, because there's a true crime genre, so it is a form of entertainment, but it's not entertainment because it's about people's actual lives and things that have happened to them, so it's not entertainment, right? So you're losing your innocence in that sense, and then you've lost it, and it no longer becomes shocking to you. So you're just like, okay, this happened. What's new? What else is there? You know? Yeah, I think this is it for this episode. So have yourself a lovely day, and don't kill people. And remember that people have died, and it is not just a story. Yeah.